that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
This summer time is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we visit Theater on the Ridge in Paradise to hear from the director and cast of TOTR's current production, Outside Mullingar, a contemporary romantic comedy set in rural Ireland. Also on today's program, we'll take you to Chico Paper Company, which is currently displaying Woodblock Prints by Melinda Whipplesmith Plank. We'll talk with the artist about her prints, which depict scenes from California state parks, and rural scenery from around the Northern California area. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, the Cascade Theater presents Rock of Ages. This blend of rock concert and story musical, set on Hollywood's Sunset Strip, features music from the 80s. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock. This show contains mature content. Reading's Axiom Repertory Theater opens its latest production, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. See this funny Tony Award-winning musical tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. Or Sunday at 2. Performances are at Old City Hall in Reading. The Orland Arts Center features the exhibit Life View, Personal Perspectives. The painters Janet Flanagan and Nancy Sackett express in their work a genuine appreciation for the inherent beauty of animals and nature. The centers open 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. At Chico's Blue Room Theater, spend the evening celebrating the literary masterpiece by James Joyce, Ulysses. The Blue Room presents, in honor of Bloomsday, a portrait of the artist going to Dublin. Enjoy Irish poetry, music, and of course, a reading of Molly Bloom's soliloquy. It all starts at 7:30 tonight. Get ready for all that jazz. Tonight, Chico Theater Company begins its run of Chicago. This popular show, the longest-running American musical in Broadway history, plays at CTC tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. Join tonight's party in Chico's downtown plaza when the Friday night concert features the Blue Merles, a Bakersfield-style rock and roadhouse dance band. The music starts at 7 o'clock. This Sunday at Sierra Nevada's Big Room, Big Sammy's Funky Nation takes the stage for an evening of high-energy performance, mixing funk, rock and roll, hip-hop, and jazz. Their concert starts at 7:30. Thursday at Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State Campus, Tajmo, the Taj Mahal and Keb Mo Band. Blues Titans Taj Mahal and Keb Mo and their band perform songs from their collaborative album. These powerhouse musicians start their show at 7:30. At the exhibit Amazing Land, Chico Art Center celebrates the talents of visual artists who have developmental disabilities. The centers open Monday through Friday, noon to 4, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4. Monday, at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, singer, songwriter, and musician Gordon Lightfoot. If you could read his mind, you'd know that the concert begins at 7:30. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Celebrating a birthday today, writer Joyce Carol Oates, who wrote that love commingled with hate is more powerful than love or hate.
On the Ridge in Paradise, where their current production is a play called Outside Mullingar, set in Ireland. And I have here the director, Jerry Miller. Jerry, how did you pick this play?
I've always had a fascination with all of John Patrick Shanley's work. This is, I think, my fifth play of his canon that I've been a part of. When I read this, I didn't get even halfway through it before I knew I wanted to bring it up here and produce the show. The language was so rich. The characters were so interesting. Many Irish plays are dark, but this one was full of love.
John Patrick Shanley is perhaps most famous for writing the movie Moonstruck. Do you know how Shanley got into writing such a completely Irish play like this?
This play came out of an exchange. He went over to the Abbey Theater and to Ireland and wrote an Irish play. And I think it was Conor McPherson came to America and wrote an American play.
We'll talk about the romantic part of this. Describe the relationship between these two people who are neighbors, but they're separated from each other.
Early in one of the characters' childhood, there's an incident. And from that moment in their childhood, they know that they're meant to be with the other character.
But initially when we hear about this, it's a source of separation and anger.
It's both. You know, that's the beautiful conflicted nature of love. It's not a happy event that happens, but it triggers something. And they know that they're inexorably tied for the rest of their lives, whether they're going to be together as husband and wife or they're going to be side-by-side rivals. That's to be determined.
There have been so many Irish plays being done here in Butte County, in Chico and Paradise. Why do you think there's such a preponderance of Irish plays being performed?
Generally in our business, you know, you have kind of a love for language. And I think the Irish writers still have this incredible romance with language. Even at the read-throughs, our first read-through, people were falling in love with the play, just hearing the language and how beautifully it's written, the colloquial phrasing, and also that bizarre mix of deeply religious and pagan at the same time.
We have here Teresa Hurley Miller. She plays Rosemary Muldoon, one of the two central characters.
I love this play, and I love the character. I love all the characters. They're so well sketched out, and they're so real to me in their responses to life. They're so vivid and emotional, and, you know, to go from one minute just so angry to laughing and to be completely authentic in both of those moments in a flash. I love that because it is a roller coaster. It's a total roller coaster of emotion.
In the summer of Wonder Woman, I think it kind of fits right in with that, because your character is a very capable person who knows things absolutely, whereas the men are kind of wishy-washy or confused. Do you like playing that really definite woman character?
I love it. And my favorite line that speaks to that is, you know, I am strength for now. because it's being willing to hold that for as long as it's necessary, but also knowing equal partnership is the desire, that equal partnership is what we're looking for, what we as women want, not to be dominant, but to be partners, to be equal.
Now we have Eric Ricketts. He plays Anthony Riley, the other half of the couple that this play is about, although at the beginning of the play, they are not really a couple.
Anthony is, he's kind of a sad character most of the time. He feels out of place because the way he sees the world, the way he sees himself, doesn't fit with normal folk out there. And it's also, he has to keep that secret. And I won't give it away, but yeah, he's got a secret, and that drives his view of the world and his view of life.
What's it like to be so locked from the joy that you could have?
Well, one, I don't know what Rosemary sees in Anthony, because yeah, you have to work really hard to open him up. He doesn't feel like he deserves that. He doesn't deserve happiness. He's odd. He's not normal. And so he shouldn't have anything nice. And to be in that moment where nice things are there, if you're just willing to be a little brave, a little bold, you know, if you're going to accept love, you have to be a little bold.
We now have Bruce Dillman. He plays Anthony's father, Tony Riley. You like being such an irascible, difficult character on stage?
Yeah, it's a great role. This guy gets to go from belligerent, crotchety old man into a conniver and eventually a pathetic person at the end of his life making a confession, which is pretty compelling if I can get it right.
It seems like when you get into that conversation with your onstage son and you both open your hearts, it's very touching. And I think there are a lot of people, maybe even John Patrick Shanley too, who wish they could have had such a free and open conversation like that at the end of the parent's life.
Yeah, indeed. Most of us never get a chance to say goodbye, never get a chance to redeem ourselves, you know, to say what we really intended and to explain things. Some of the behavior of my character in this play can be understood only at the very end of his life when he gets a chance to explain himself to his son.
So what's it like getting into this whole Irish character and the Irish language and the whole attitude toward the land and everything that is the Irish character?
You know, I had my DNA analyzed a few years ago by the 23andMe company, and I'm 99.1% Irish or British Isles. But I've always been interested in Irish humor. I love the way they can talk about what should be very sobering topics with a sort of a tongue-in-cheek attitude and a self-effacing way. That's always been fun for me. I've always enjoyed the humor. There's always a story behind it, though. In the whole history of Ireland, you know, any story can be told in a fanciful way or in a funny way. But if you really analyze it, there's usually a pretty sad story behind it, you know, of oppression or slavery or famine, you know, who knows what. And Shanley, who actually grew up in Ireland as a young man, rejected his Irish roots for a long time, as I understand it, but then embraces them in this show. There's a real wit in Ireland. If you like that wit, I think you'll enjoy this play.
Now we're here with Judy Clemens, who happens to be the executive director of Theatre on the Ridge. And now she's on stage in Outside Mullingar. Tell me about your character, Judy.
Aoife, she's just a wonderful character. She's so beautifully drawn, as all the characters are in this play. She's just recently lost her husband, and she lost a son in childbirth. So she's kind of a tough woman. It's, you know, it's been through a lot in her life. She's always been part of the farming life in Mullingar in the Irish countryside, and she's just of strong stock. I've found a lot of humor in her character, just the way she looks at life, a hard scrabble existence.
So, Judy, what's it like stepping from an executive position, doing all of the work of running Theatre on the Ridge, stepping into being on stage in a role in a play?
It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. I don't perform very much anymore just because it is, you know, it's a lot of time, extra taxing for the other things I do around here. And now when I perform, it just has to be the right part to put in all the extra time. And this play really drew me to it. it takes me back to my passion and the joy, which is performing. So this has been a real treat. It's a very human story, and it has something for everyone, something to say to everyone. So many great laughs and happy tears. It's just the best kind of theater.
The play is Outside Mullingar by John Patrick Shanley, and it's at Theater on the Ridge through June 25th.
Oh, this summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme all around a blooming heather. Will you go?
Let's join our visual art expert, Dolores Mitchell. She's at a leading art venue in downtown Chico, and she's talking with artist Melinda Whipple Smith Plank. Dolores is admiring the artist's work, which is on display there.
I am here at Chico Paper Company looking at some exquisite wood block prints. You were telling me some fascinating things about how your life changed dramatically when you decided to go back to school. You threw in your lot with the art world.
I went to get a master's in art education, and I took a class in printmaking. I fell in love with the process.
What was it about the process that really fascinated you?
Well, I find that when I would work in oils or work in colored pencils, the piece became so precious that I was stilted in some of the things that I would do, some of the experimentation, some of the exploration. With printmaking, you carve something and you can do it in a number of different colors. You can layer it. It loses its preciousness. Plus, by the time you complete an edition, you have a number of prints. So it's not like you're going to squirrel one away in your back room because you don't want to sell it or give it away because it has too much of you in it. You just like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, let's try it this way. Maybe we could try this color.
One of the fascinating things about your exhibition at Chico Paper Company is that you have some of the wood blocks up on the wall right next to the print itself. Would you tell the listeners how this process is done from the very start to the finish?
Of course, every piece of art starts with the idea. So there has to be something that you are trying to say, something you're trying to convey. I've done a couple of residencies for national parks. In those residencies, you have this beautiful setting, and you're trying to determine what it is you want to say that's unique, that's different, that's worth saying. It starts up with the idea, then it goes to tons of photographs for reference and tons of sketches done at the same time. From the sketches, I will take one that I like the looks of and make it larger and put it onto a wood plate and transfer it onto there, a number of different ways to do that. Then I carve it. I carve a key block. Once it's carved, I put a piece of paper over it. It's like a wax paper. I ink up the plate, put the paper over it, run it through the press. The image is now reversed so that I can put it onto another plate. I do that again and again for however many plates I'm going to use. And that's determined by how many colors are going to be in the print. Usually I'll use 5 to 6 plates for an image, and quite often there'll be different colors, etc., on the plates in different areas. There'll be easily 8 to 15 colors.
How about the Jefferson State series that you've been working on? Examples are now on display at Chico Paper. How did that develop, and what kinds of images are involved?
I wanted to work on Northern California, Southern Oregon, which I have an affinity for. I've spent my life there. And I wanted to explore some of the places that are less well known. And I wanted to convey the feeling of those places, to work to try to preserve them, actually. Our population is growing, and these places are at risk. Ranches are being subdivided, cut up. I wanted to show what we are losing by not being more cognizant of how urban sprawl can wipe these places out.
Well, I'm looking at one very familiar image. You can reach this location in about, 45 minutes? It's the Sutter Buttes. What fascinates you about them?
My family used to drive up from the Bay Area back and forth to the Oregon border, and my dad would point out the Sutter Buttes. They just seemed to hang kind of magically in the distance, and there would be periods where there'd be so much pollution in the valley that you wouldn't be able to see them, so it was always a treat when you'd spot the Sutter Buttes and knew that you were getting closer to your destination.
You certainly have colors that are so familiar to anyone who lives in Northern California. You have the wonderfully purple buttes in the background, the blue California sky, but then the golden fields that are broken up by, a kind of sage green or an olive green. What were some of your considerations in the color in this piece?
I wanted to get into the layers of colors as you look into the distance. I love the contrast between the warm yellow tones of fields that have been recently harvested, or those California golds, with the fields that have not been harvested yet that still hold the promise of a crop to come and that seem to stretch across this valley indefinitely. That was what I was trying to convey.
What are some of your thoughts about composition when you created this Sutter Buttes piece?
Contrast is a word that I've been saying to myself as I'm trying to determine which pieces I would like to do next. And I would say in the Sutter Buttes piece, I had noticed this flock of sheep against the gold as I actually drove by, and I was riveted by that. So the contrast of the white of the animals, it's always kind of a dirty white against the fields, the contrast of the yellow against the blue. I love the woodblock prints where you can put the rainbow roll so you get those subtle variations. There were about 3 colors in this one run of a rainbow roll where it went from a gold to a kind of an orange to a paler yellow.
You also have these wonderful greens. They look quite complex.
I never use greens out of a tube. They're always too harsh, too sharp. I always mix them myself. And one of the key things that I use in mixing my greens is burnt sienna. It's one of my favorite colors that I put into to make olivey greens.
Well, it really warms them up, doesn't it?
It gives them so much more depth. Greens are just such a funny color because there's so many fakey, false greens that we have a conception that that's what greens look like. In nature, you rarely see those colors.
Do you spend a lot of time in nature?
I do. I grew up on a cattle ranch on the Oregon border, and I live there now, actually. Having spent a lot of time in the Puget Sound area, I came back to the ranch, and that's where I now make my home. I will go for walks on a daily basis. We have a river that goes through the place, the Scott River. I took a kayak down just listening to the birds and just getting images for my next piece, which is going to be for a conservation group.
Can you say a little bit about this conservation group and what your art for them will be like?
The ranch has been put into a conservation easement by the Siskiyou Land Trust. I am doing a piece for them. I'm giving them one of the pieces, and then I'm giving them a percentage of the sales. That's something that I'm going to be developing, working with a number of different conservancy groups in that way. I feel strongly about the environment and the preciousness of having biodiversity. The planet needs to have a lot of different types of species, both plant and animal.
One thing I was very struck by is how you use the texture of the wood in certain pieces.
People have asked me, why don't you use linoleum blocks? Because that is exactly the same process. And I like using wood because it sounds kind of corny, but there's kind of a conversation that goes between the carver and the wood. The wood will take you into different ways, whereas the linoleum is a medium that just anything that's of a man-made plastic nature. I'm not as good at acrylics as I am some other mediums because I just don't have that affinity for plastics. I love when the wood grain pattern comes up in some of the work. When I can utilize that, I'm always like, got that. Nice.
Your work can be seen at Chico Paper Company. That's at 4th Street and Broadway, right across from the Civic Plaza. Thank you so much.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.